Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to have you here today as we gather for worship on this first Sunday in May. It's a beautiful spring day outside. It's good to have you here. We'll be celebrating the Lord's Supper as part of our worship service today. I'd like to invite all of you to stay for a few moments after the service for a time of refreshment and fellowship in our Judson Chapel, which is the room directly behind the sanctuary. If you are visiting today, we extend a special welcome to you. If it is your first time here, we ask that you fill a welcome card out that you'll find in the pew rack in front of you, and you place the card in the offering plate so we may know who's been worshiping with us. On the inside back cover of the bulletin is the calendar for this week, and I'm just calling your attention to that. You do want to note, in addition to what's going on here at the church this week, an upcoming event for Bread of Life volunteers, a recognition dinner later on in May. Also, that their scholarship applications are now being accepted. You can see Dottie Foxen for any questions about that. In addition, on the back page of the bulletin is a nomination form for our Layperson of the Year. Each year we recognize a person or couple in the congregation and recognize them and celebrate the ways that they share in ministry with us. And you'll see those who have received it in the past, and we would like your nominations. So far, I've received, I believe, 3 or 4 nominations. They are due by next Monday, so you'll have this Sunday and next Sunday an opportunity. You can either place it in the offering plate or hand it to me after the service today, if you fill it out today. Also, there is an insert in your bulletin, a white insert. If you would like to give a $5 gift for a Church World Service blanket, in memory or in honor of a loved one for Mother's Day. Today is the deadline. There will be an honor roll listed in the bulletin next week of all the gifts that we have received. I was away last week, and the church that I was worshiping in was also receiving money for blankets. And one of the questions was asked that would some of the money or some of the blankets that we're giving now go to Nepal, where they'd suffer the earthquake and avalanche. And we said, well, the actual ones that we're giving now may not, because some have probably already gone there, but that will it will replace those that have already been used so that Church World Service would have some. That's one example of how emergency responses are made, so that we can't target where our blankets would go. But we know that they would be used wisely and go to some area that needs disaster relief in some way. Also, on the table in Judson Chapel, there is an order form for spring flowers, and that is to benefit the Refugee Immigration Ministry. You can see Chuck Huddy. He'll be at the desk then after the service. There is an order form and also pictures of the plants that you would like to, if you'd like to order some. We do encourage you that the deadline is today. Is that right, Marilyn, or next week? Next week. Next Sunday is the deadline for ordering those, and just check that out if you'd like to have some spring flowers at the house. We are here to celebrate the risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the reconciliation that's offered to each of us. Our opening hymn is Love Lifted Me, number 395. Those who are able are invited to stand as we sing together. Let us pray. Holy God, let us be faithful witnesses to the power of your love. May our lives mirror hope in the midst of despair. May our deeds be filled with compassion in a world of bruising indifference. May our words be truthful when misinformation holds center stage. And may our forgiveness build new bridges of reconciliation. O Lord, we pray that the joy of Easter may linger in our hearts and fill us with courage and hope. We ask this all in the powerful name of our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We now pray as he taught, as we pray aloud together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. If there are any children who would like to come forward for our moments together, I invite you to do that now. Thank you for coming down. We have some little older children this morning, but not too old. But that's good because what I was going to talk about this morning has a little bit more to do with maybe when we're a little bit older than me. But I'm sure you might be able to answer this question too. Have you ever made a mistake or done anything wrong? No, they don't want to admit it, especially if parents or grandparents are here. So I won't ask you, but just be thinking about it. If you've ever made a mistake, have you ever wished you could ask for forgiveness if you've hurt someone by something you said or something you did? Well, the Bible tells us that one of the followers and friends of Jesus, named Peter, one of the closest ones, in fact, he's one of the three that were in the closest inner circle around Jesus, that when Jesus was arrested, that three times people said, oh, you were with Jesus. You know, you were with Jesus. He said, no, I don't know him. I don't know him. Three times somebody accused Peter of knowing Jesus, and three times Peter said, I don't know him, even though the last 3 years of his life he had spent living and walking and learning and eating and drinking and everything else with Jesus. But Peter was afraid that he would also be arrested like Jesus was, that he might also be killed like Jesus was going to be. So Peter said no. He denied knowing Jesus. That's right. Jesus knew that that was going to happen, and he told Peter that beforehand. The night before, Jesus told Peter that that was going to happen. And Peter said, no way! You know, I'll go to the death with you. But when it came to really happening, and that's right, after the third time that Peter said, I don't know him, the cock or the rooster crowed. And he heard that, and he remembered the words that Jesus had said, and he felt so ashamed and felt so bad. Well, 2 days, you know, 3 days later, Jesus comes back alive, and it's celebration. But they never really have a conversation about that. Never really have a time that. Days later, and we don't know exactly when, but sometime in this time period. Do you remember when Easter was? About a month ago? So in this time frame, and it could have been even about this much, it could have been as much as this amount of time, a month later, that they're out, Peter's gone back to fishing, went out fishing. That was what his job was, his occupation was before Jesus said, come and follow me. And Jesus is on the shore, and he says, have you caught anything? And Peter has some of the other disciples with him. He says, no, we haven't caught anything. All night long, we haven't caught anything. So Jesus says, throw the net on the other side of the boat. And they say, who's he think he is? They don't know who it is. Who does he think he is? We're the professional fishermen, and we've been out all night long, and we haven't caught anything. How can somebody on shore tell us where, how to do our fishing? But they do it, and the fish are, there are so many fish in the net that they can't get the net into the boat. They have to drag it to the shore. Well, one of the other disciples that's in the boat recognizes, when this happens, recognizes that that's Jesus standing on the shore. And he says it to Peter, that's Jesus. And Peter jumps out of the boat and swims to shore, leaves the fish in the boat for the other guys to deal with, and goes to shore. They have breakfast together. And then afterwards, Jesus has a conversation with Peter. And three times, Jesus asks Peter, do you love me? Now, in a conversation, if you're asked the same question three times and you say, yes, I love you. Do you love me? Yes, I love you. So the third time, Peter, do you love me? Peter gets a little exasperated, but also hurt that Jesus has to ask him three times, do you love me? But remember how many times Jesus said he didn't, how many times Peter said he didn't know Jesus? Three times. So that's bringing Peter back into discipleship by saying, yes, Lord, I love you. You know that I love you. And Jesus told Peter, take care of my sheep, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, and basically giving Peter responsibility back to carrying on the ministry that Jesus had started. So when we make mistakes, the lesson of this is when we make mistakes, Jesus offers us forgiveness also. When we deny knowing Jesus, when we're not kind to a friend, when we do things, if we go and we apologize and we ask for forgiveness, we ask Jesus for forgiveness, he will forgive us. He offers us a second chance. And that's what I want you to remember today, that we're not perfect. The only person ever born that was perfect was Jesus. We all make mistakes. We all need second chances. And that is something that Jesus offers to each one of us. And I want us to remember that this morning. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for the message of Easter, of new life. We also thank you for the message of the Easter season of second chances. That because Christ came back to life, Christ offers us a second chance when we make mistakes. Forgive us, Father, when we do make those mistakes. And we thank you that in your love and mercy, that you're willing to not get rid of us, not forget about us, but you love us so much that you say, come back, I will forgive you, and let's keep working together. We ask all of this in Jesus' name. You've already had my sermon for today, but I will expand a little bit later. But we come to a time of sharing celebrations and concerns and spending a few moments in prayer together. We want to continue to remember Lucille Berry, and Lana's here today, so but we want to keep Lucille in prayer as she's at home. Helen Fleet did get back home from rehab 2 weeks ago yesterday, and I spoke with her daughter yesterday, and Helen was out getting her hair done. But doing well, so we want to continue to remember Helen as she continues to gain strength. Bev Sandberg moved yesterday, and her daughter Diane was here earlier just to drop off her new address and phone number, which I do have, and I can give to anyone who would like it. So Bev Sandberg is now living in assisted living in Charlestown. So I want to keep Bev as she's doing this adjustment in our prayers. Claire Stevens is in New Hampshire right now and will be coming back down this week, sort of alternating between her sons in New Hampshire and living here in Stoneham independently. Claire did call and left a message for me. I did talk to her later yesterday. The man that we've been praying for several years, her friend Jerry, did pass away this past week. So we do want to keep Jerry's family in prayer and his friends as well. He had a large large group of friends that he had sort of, you know, that he took care of and oversaw. So we want to keep all of those folks in prayer today as they are missing Jerry. Also, we want to keep the family of Lucien Mondesir in prayer. Lucien passed away on Monday. Her funeral was held yesterday. So we want to keep her daughter, Lucinda, and her sons in prayer today, and the extended family, as you know, they're missing their mom and their loved one. Also, Scoutmaster George Burgess is ill. I think it's more flu-like than more than that, but he is at home in bed. We had an Eagle Scout ceremony here yesterday, and he was not able to attend due to his health. So we do want to keep George Burgess in prayer today as well. Also, we want to keep, you know, the things that are in the news, events that are in the news, both good and bad. It seems that we hear a lot of negative news as far as natural disasters, also rioting, but also the birth of a princess. So that is a celebration. So we want to keep all of those in prayer. Also, the release of many women and girls in Nigeria who've been held hostage. So we want to keep, you know, that situation in prayer as well. Okay, prayers for deciding which college to go to. So we'll keep that in our prayers. It is a time of schools, you know, concluding, especially colleges at this time, but also high schools, and you know, getting accepted in two schools and deciding where to go and you know, what avenue to take. So we want to keep our students in prayer. Great. Okay. So Naomi's been accepted to a new school. So we want to keep that and, you know, her in prayer as well. So we want to keep our students in prayer. As students and educators, as you know, the academic year is winding down, but also looking to, you know, the fall and future. So we want to keep them in prayer. A belated happy birthday to May. May I say that out loud? Oh, okay. Happy birthday to May. Her birthday was yesterday. She turned 78. So we celebrate with you, May. Congratulations. Okay. All right, so Dindam is attending BU in the fall, so we celebrate that. Peggy? Okay, Peggy's son Lenny, his birthday is today, so we celebrate that. Anyone else have a prayer request? If not, then let's go to God, lifting up some of these requests or something that's on your heart. Let's pray together. Holy God, you are a God of love, mercy, justice, and forgiveness. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity of coming together this morning to worship you in this place, devoting these minutes to worship, and these moments to conversation with you. And Lord, we realize that prayer is a conversation. It's not just a one-way street where we give you our want list and then hang up the phone or click off. But Lord, we also sit and ponder and await your messages to us as well. Lord, sometimes it's so difficult to hear your voice amidst the noise of the environment that fills our world. But Lord, it's good to be able to spend these few moments in solitude, in quiet, to be able to center ourselves, to focus on you, to silently pray to you, and to spend just mere seconds opening ourselves to you that you too may speak to us. Lord, we do yearn for a relationship, a stronger relationship with you. And Lord, this day, as we've gathered for worship, we've offered you praise and glory. And this day, this time now, Lord, we lift to you our private prayers and our corporate prayers. We lift up those who are ill today, Lord, and pray for your healing in their lives according to your will. We pray for those who are in mourning this day as well, having lost a loved one, perhaps recently, or perhaps quite a while ago, but the hole in the heart is still raw. There's still an empty place there. And Lord, we just pray for that type of healing. We pray for your your Spirit a comfort and peace to go to those who are in mourning this day. Lord, we also pray for those who are celebrating birthdays. It is that celebration. We thank you for the gift of life. In this Easter season, we not only celebrate and recognize our earthly life, but we also look forward to our life eternal that is promised and guaranteed to us through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, that's why we're here as believers. We come, and each Sunday is a mini Easter celebration because the tomb is empty, that we can have new life. Lord, this day we pray for those who are making decisions, that are forced to make decisions, and we pray that your Spirit may be with them to guide them as they are making those decisions, weighing the consequences of each. We pray for those who have been accepted into new schools that will be starting a new chapter in their lives. We pray for those who are concluding their education this spring, perhaps, and graduating and earning a degree or a certificate. Lord, we thank you for those who are trained as educators and those students who have been learning, and just pray that this time may be a time of celebration for them as another academic year draws to a close in the coming weeks. Lord, we also pray for our world this day. We are mindful of the violence that takes place in our own region, in our nation, and around the world. And we continue to pray for peace around the globe, O God. Peace that we don't have answers for. Peace that only Christ can provide. But if there is some way that we may be a peacemaker, Lord, help us to do that in our lives. And Lord, this time we lift all of these things up to you in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On this first Sunday of the month, when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we do receive two offerings during the service. This first offering that we are about to receive is our regular morning offering that goes to support the ongoing ministry and mission of this congregation. The ushers will receive your tithes and your gifts at this time. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you for all of your blessings, and we ask that you would bless these gifts and bless us and help us to be wise stewards of these gifts, that they may be used to share the good news of the empty tomb, the good news of Jesus Christ with others. We ask this in his name. Amen. Scripture lesson comes in the Gospel according to John, chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. If you'd like to follow along in the Pew Bible, that's found on beginning on page 107 in the back section of the Bible. You've already heard part of this paraphrase this morning. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will go with you." They went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, "Children, you have no fish, have you?" They answered him, "No." He said to them, "Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some." So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the sea. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, only about 100 yards off. When they had gone ashore, they saw a charcoal fire there with fish on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore, full of large fish, 153 of them. And though there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Or as we just sang, "Come and dine." Now none of the disciples dared to ask him, "Who are you?" because they knew it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus appeared to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." Jesus said to Peter the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter felt hurt because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And he said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which he would glorify God. After this, Jesus said to Peter, "Follow me." May God bless the reading, hearing, and application of God's holy word this morning. Let us pray. Lord, how often we are like Peter, making mistakes, denying our faith, looking for the easy way out, the safe way that we perceive, the comfortable way. But Lord, we need this part of the gospel to know that Peter was not left out, that Jesus reached out to him and welcomed him back. Lord, we pray that when we stray, when we wander, when we purposely go against your will, that you will reach out your hand to us as well and will welcome us back, that you will offer us a second chance. Lord, this day we pray that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a message from you that will help us in our daily living. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. I ask the same rhetorical question that I asked the children this morning. Have you ever made a mistake? Said something or did something, neglected to say or do something that eventually hurt yourself or someone else? The closest followers of Jesus when he was alive on earth were no different than any of us in that respect. We read in the Bible that each of them, in their own way, either betrayed Jesus, denied even knowing him, or fled and hid themselves when he was arrested, tried, and crucified. Often in life, when someone makes a mistake, no matter how foolish it is or how tragic, it's never forgiven or forgotten by the person who committed it or by other people. Fortunately for us, God is more merciful. This morning's scripture illustrates this fact. It was sometime after the first Easter morning. The disciples, in fact, had seen the resurrected Lord on more than one occasion. Yet Peter returned to his fishing boat on the Sea of Tiberias. Many of the other disciples joined him. So we need to ask ourselves, was this simply a night of recreation? A trip to catch fish to fulfill hunger? Or a return to the old style of life that they had before following Jesus? Biblical commentators have not come to a consensus on this question, but the belief is that since it is included in the Bible, it was probably more than just a night of recreational fishing or an attempt to stave off physical hunger. There is some indication that Peter and these other followers of Jesus were restless. It was true that Jesus had been raised from the grave, but he had not yet established the earthly kingdom that they were expecting. Whatever the reason for their fishing expedition, they toiled all night without success. Can you imagine how they must have felt? These were professional fishermen. That's what they did for a living before Jesus said, "Come and follow me." And here it is, they hadn't caught anything all night. But things were about to change. As dawn broke, they saw someone standing on the shore. This man inquired how successful they had been. When they admitted that they had caught nothing, he called to them to cast their net on the right side of the boat. And when they did, they caught so many fish, they could not drag the net into the boat. One of the men in the boat recognized the man on the shore as being the Lord. And when Peter learned of this, he acted in typical Peter fashion, diving out of the boat and swimming to shore, leaving the others to bring the boat and the fish to dry land. And once everyone arrived on shore, Jesus served the weary men breakfast. Imagine being one of the disciples on the shore that morning. Try putting yourself in their place. If you are Peter, you remember how you bragged and boasted that you would always faithfully defend your teacher. But after Jesus was arrested and people began connecting you with this radical rabbi, you denied not once, but three times even knowing him. And whether you are Peter or one of the other disciples standing on that shore, you remember how you fled and hid out of fear of also being arrested and crucified. And in the days and weeks to follow, you encountered the resurrected Lord, but you never discussed your behavior and why you weren't there when Jesus could have used your support. I imagine that those disciples had a mixture of emotions brewing inside of them that morning as they swam and rowed to shore. I imagine that they had joy, fear, shame, and regret brewing inside them. Imagine trying to eat a breakfast that was prepared by the one you hurt the most. I think the food would probably get stuck in my throat. And yet, Scripture does not record that any of the disciples do or say anything to express their regret or ask for forgiveness. The climax of the story comes in the conversation between Jesus and Peter after breakfast. Peter probably felt much as we do when we fail. There's a sense of guilt, of being unworthy and not deserving another chance. Although Peter had seen the risen Lord on at least four occasions, his doubts must have continued as he thought about his relationship with Jesus and his place in God's work. Jesus acted to dispel Peter's doubts and restore him to his place of leadership among the apostles. Peter had denied his master three times, and three times Jesus asked him whether he loved him. Each time Peter answered, yes. And the third time must have brought back all the shameful memories of his denials, and he was sad because Jesus insisted on asking him the question the third time. But this was necessary so that Peter might realize and experience forgiveness and restoration. Each time Peter affirmed his love for Jesus, the Master gave him a commission. He was welcoming him back and giving him a job to do. Feed my lambs. Tend my sheep. Feed my sheep. Three denials. Three questions. Three answers. Three commissions. We see in this morning, something of the mercy of God. We might say that Peter did not deserve another chance, but God saw differently. The same is true of us. We do not deserve a second chance, but God gives it and more. We fail many times, and many times we receive God's forgiveness and restoration and renewal of our relationship with him. This biblical story of mistakes, regret, forgiveness, and restoration reminds me of the story of a man nicknamed Wrong Way Regals. Some of you may have heard this story before, but it bears repeating. On New Year's Day, 1929, Georgia Tech played UCLA in the Rose Bowl. In that game, a young UCLA player named Roy Regals recovered a fumble for his team. Picking up the loose ball, he lost his direction and ran 65 yards toward the wrong goal line. One of his teammates ran him down and tackled him just before he scored for the opposing team. Several plays later, UCLA had to punt. Georgia Tech blocked the kick and scored a safety, demoralizing the UCLA team. These strange plays all came in the first half of that game. At halftime, the UCLA players filed into the off the field and into the dressing room. As the others sat down on the benches and the floor, Regals sat down in the corner and put his face in his hands. Now, a football coach usually has a great deal to say to his players during halftime. That day, the coach was quiet. No doubt he was trying to decide what to do with a player named Regals. When the timekeeper came in to announce that there were 3 minutes before playing time, the coach looked at the team and said, "Men, the same team that played the first half will start the second." The players got up and started out, all but Regals. He didn't budge. The coach looked back and called to him. Regals didn't move. The coach went over to where Regals sat and said, "Roy, didn't you hear me? The same team that played the first half will start the second." Roy Regals looked up, his cheeks wet with tears. "Coach," he said, "I can't do it. I've ruined you. I've ruined the university's reputation. I've ruined myself. I can't face that crowd out there." The coach reached out, put his hand on Regal's shoulder, and said, "Roy, get up and go on back. The game is only half over." Regals finally did get up. He went out onto the field, and fans saw him play hard and play well. All of us have run a long way in the wrong direction sometimes. But because of God's mercy, the game is only half over. Forgiving, which begins with self-forgiveness, can become a constant, ongoing process, a way of living. It means letting go of past regrets, resentments, and bitterness, and moving on. Of course, that's not always easy, but it's worth every difficult action that we have. And there's nothing mushy or soft-hearted about loving and forgiving. As Dr. Jonas Salk has put it, the end result of forgiving is to release the power in the nucleus of the individual, a power much greater in its positive effects than atomic power in its negative. The point is this: if we can be courageous one more time, then we are fearful. If we can be trusting one more time, then we are anxious. If we can be cooperative one more time, then we are competitive. And if we can be loving one more time, then we are hateful. We will have moved closer to the next big breakthrough in our human growth, and closer to the next big breakthrough toward our human potential. Through God's grace and mercy, God offers each of us second chances. So no matter what mistakes we have made in our lives, God is ready to forgive. And as we move to the communion table, we need to remember that when someone invites guests for dinner, it's not so that they can quarrel with one another, but that they may be friendly to one another and forgive one another any sins that may have been committed. Jesus had the same purpose in mind when he instituted the Lord's Supper. This meal was to keep Christians in the bonds of love. A teaching from the early church said, Jesus used bread and wine in the Lord's Supper to show that, as many kernels of grain, though they have their own body and form, are ground into flour and baked into one loaf of bread, in a similar way we, though each one of us has his or her own body and his or her own individuality, are one body and one bread, because in communion we are all partakers of one bread. By serving breakfast to a group of weary fishermen on the shore, and hosting a dinner in which he invited each person who believes that he is the Son of, that he is God's Son and our Savior, Jesus offers us a second chance by saying, no matter what your past has been, you have a spotless future. Let's pray together. Lord, we may realize that our pasts are spotted, have dark spots, have things that we wish we could forget. Lord, we thank you for the promise of a clean slate, a second chance, a spotless future. Lord, may we take this encounter with Jesus and Peter to heart and recognize that we too can be forgiven. Lord, we thank you for Peter. We thank you for his humanity, that even though he was a leader of the disciples, that he still made mistakes and needed to be forgiven. We too, Lord, are that way. And we thank you, Lord, that you offer that forgiveness to us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Our hymn of preparation for communion is Break Thou the Bread of Life, number 693. We'll be singing verses 1 and 5 only.
As previously mentioned, on Communion Sunday, we receive two offerings. This second offering that we are about to receive is used by the deacons to meet special requests that are not provided for in our regular budget. In addition to worship supplies, the diaconate is able to meet the needs of individuals and groups within our church, as well as those in our local community and around the world. The deacons will now receive your gifts for the communion offering. Please join me in reading our church covenant. Having been led, as we believe, by the Spirit of God to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and Lord, we do now solemnly and joyfully covenant with each other to walk together with Him in Christian love. We do therefore pray that we might watch over one another with Christian love, remembering each other in prayer, and aiding each other in sickness and distress. That we will regularly assemble for the public worship of God and the observance of His ordinances of the church. That we will maintain daily family and personal devotions in our home, provide for the religious training of our children and those under our care, for the service of Christ and His people, that we will seek divine aid to enable us to affirm love, justice, and the unity of all people, and to work as faithful disciples of the Christ, that we cheerfully contribute our property according as God has prospered us for the maintenance of faithful and evangelical ministry among us, for the relief of the distressed and the spreading of the gospel to all nations, and that we will strive to live to the glory of God, who has given us life and who has called us to serve him and our sisters and brothers in the name of his Son.
Jesus is the host of this table and this meal. And as the host, each time we approach the table, Jesus asks us these words: Do you love me? Do you believe that I went to the cross and died for you, paying the price for your sins? That I was buried, rose again, ascended to heaven, and preparing a place for you for all eternity? And if we are able to say, Yes, Lord, I believe, Jesus invites us, come, eat and drink with me. You do not have to be a member of this local congregation in order to receive the elements, because this is open communion and Jesus invites all believers to receive the elements today. Let's pray together. Lord, we come to the table hearing your invitation, knowing that we have not earned a seat here, but that it's through your grace and mercy that we are welcomed here. In silence, Lord, we confess to you now those sins that we are aware of that we have committed and ask for your forgiveness. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our confessions. We do pray that you would forgive us of our sins, purify us, cleanse us, and prepare us now to eat and drink with you. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. We go back a little bit in time from this morning's scripture text to before the crucifixion, that last night that Jesus shared together on earth, shared a meal together with his disciples. It was the Passover meal, celebrating and commemorating the deliverance of the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. And Jesus took the bread from the table, and after giving thanks for the bread, he said to his disciples, This bread represents my body that's broken for each of you. Ministering in his name, we share with you the bread, the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken so that we may be whole. Let us eat in memory of him. As the meal in the upper room continued, Jesus took the cup, giving thanks to God for the cup and then beginning to pass it among his disciples, encouraging them to drink from it, and saying, This cup represents a new covenant, a new agreement between God and humans that's sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink from it, remember me. Ministering in his name, we share with you the cup. The blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, shed on the cross, that we might have life, life abundant, life eternal. Let us drink in celebration and memory of him. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you allowed your body to be broken and your blood to be shed for each one of us. Lord, we thank you for the chances, the second chances and third chances and fourth chances you offer to each one of us because of your love and mercy. Lord, we pray that we may have been strengthened by having been together today, and that we may be prepared now to go out into the world to share the good news of your love and mercy. We ask this all in your name. Amen. Scripture tells us the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn that night before they went out. Our closing hymn is Now I Belong to Jesus, number 417. We'll be singing verse 1 only. Since we belong to Jesus, our Lord calls us, giving us new direction. Our Lord calls us, inviting us to follow him. Our Lord calls to us, offering us his love and forgiveness. May we listen for that call and accept the new opportunities we have to love and serve our Lord and our neighbors. Amen.